Well, it's something that a lot of people, particularly this year, would know the feeling of, you know, are you stranded far from home? Whether your family is overseas and usually at this time you'd be seeing them, maybe they're interstate and this time around you can't see them. We've even seen, you know, within the Northern Beaches, you know, suburbs that would be side by side. You can't necessarily travel between. It might leave you feeling a little uneasy. It could even leave you feeling sick. We use this word, don't we? Homesick. Do we really get sick from this? Psychologist Gemma Dolly joins us again on ABC Radio. Hi, Gemma.
Hi, Bern. Thanks for having me.
I know I have in my life, not this, I've been lucky that I've been with family this particular Christmas, but I do know I've been genuinely homesick, where I have felt sick from missing home. How do we even have a definition for true homesickness?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really interesting way to put it, because I think many of us do feel physically sick when we're really missing our loved ones and we're really missing our homes. And I kind of think of homesickness like this transition between two worlds. So often when we think about our family home, we have this sense of security and safety and routine and predictability, familiar faces, familiar places. We know what's going to happen, and there's a real sense of attachment there. But then when we're no longer in that same place and maybe we've established a new world, we can have this sense of uncertainty when we haven't yet quite established that same sense of predictability or attachment. And that can leave us feeling a little bit off kilter when we're not quite established in this new world. And it's this real feeling of yearning or kind of longing for the familiar and that sense of safety that we get from familiar people and places.
I was even thinking about the term homesick. There aren't too many other things that we, you know, have, you know, lovesick was the only other one I could think of. And they are genuinely both, you know, very deep feelings that can, and you really can feel sick with it. You know, you genuinely go down into those depths of being homesick or lovesick for that matter. I won't drag you into a lovesick discussion, but it made me really exactly. What are you doing next week? Let's discuss lovesick. So how deeply can it affect your life? You know, is it not getting out of bed kind of sickness?
Well, yeah, look, I think when it's really severe, the symptoms might kind of mirror some of the things that we'd see with depression or anxiety. So it can kind of be a little bit like a grief reaction. So firstly, there's this cognitively, I guess we have this really strong yearning or longing for the familiar. We might even become, you know, really preoccupied with thoughts about home and what we're missing out on. We might even start to really idealize home and maybe even forget about some of the things that we don't like so much about our former homes, like arguments with our sisters or the terrible coffee at the local cafe. And, you know, we might even start to minimize some of the advantages of our new location. And then physically, you know, we might start to actually feel, you know, physically sick. You know, our stomachs might be churning. You know, if our stress response is activated, it would make sense that we're feeling maybe a little bit shaky or heart racing. But when we're feeling sad and low, often it's those kind of depressive symptoms in our body, like difficulty concentrating, trouble getting to sleep, or maybe even not wanting to get out of bed as well. So all of those kind of physical symptoms can happen when it's really severe as well.
Yeah. When I think back to times when I've experienced being homesick, and I mean, often it is when you just obviously genuinely cannot get home. Anyone who's ever traveled overseas and, you know, your bank account's low and you're backpacking or whatever, and there's no way you're going home this, you know, this summer, this winter, whatever it's going to be. Other times in my life, I know it's been when I just, usually it's been associated with money. You just basically can't afford to go home. Back when, you know, there was a time in our lives, Gemma, I don't know if it was in your life, when plane fares were actually expensive things in between state to state, town to town. We've become accustomed to cheap tickets. This year,
they weren't always affordable, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously this year is a, you know, is unprecedented. We've seen plenty of times, there's that word that we've all used far too often, but it's probably one of the first reminders to us where for a very long time, we've always been able to get home. You know, there are cheap tickets these days. There are opportunities to get home. What are some of the coping methods, do you think, for if you find yourself in a situation now where you can't get home and you are really feeling that genuine sense of grief?
Look, I think firstly, it's really important if you are stuck and you're feeling genuinely lonely and that real sense of longing, firstly, just acknowledging that feeling, you know, rather than trying to push it away or say, you know, I shouldn't feel this way, I should be happy. Acknowledging that you feel this way is important because we know that when we try and push our emotions away, they just come back stronger and we feel worse. And really, our emotions often come in waves. So there's times when we get really sad and really upset, but no feeling ever lasts forever. You know, if you look back across your life, you've never had an emotion that's lasted forever. But being able to say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a bit sad, I'm feeling lonely here, I'm feeling pain, is going to allow you to be a bit of, direct a bit of self-compassion back to yourself and even be open with others in your life and get on the phone to your mum. And you don't have to pretend you're living your best life if you're feeling miserable. You can be open and honest and say, hey, I'm really hurting. You know, I really miss you guys. That's going to allow you to draw in support when you need it as well. So making sure that you're, you know, being honest about where you're at, I think is important. And then if you're stuck, especially over the holidays, I think finding a way to make a new routine wherever you are now, make that a routine that you can really enjoy. So that might be finding a new local cafe that you go to for your daily coffee, going for a walk every day. That's going to help keep your stress levels at bay, but also that sense of normality as well. Even building new rituals. So you might be stuck and you might have missed out on your usual Christmas rituals, but can you bake some cookies for your neighbors or something new that you wouldn't normally do? Or can you recreate something that you would have done at home? You know, can you have a Zoom dinner and you know, get those at home to also do the same, and you can log on and share the same meal. So finding ways to connect with your old world but also with your new world to help make that transition a little bit less painful is really important.
Yes, and not just creating opportunities to connect with home, but actually making the place where you are now feel like home, if it doesn't already, for that matter. Hey, can I ask you some questions about technology then? Because you know, I was thinking back to, say, my mum, for instance. You know, married an Australian. She was from England. She moved out to Australia as a young bride, and you know, back in her day, you know, it was an aerogram, you know, every few months, you know,
Oh, wow.
and so you'd write a letter, you know, and it would be a letter that could only be so long because the aerogram only allowed, you know, a certain amount of writing on it. It wasn't even just
Oh, wow.
pages and pages of letters, you know. I remember the phone call back to England at Christmas time. It was the one thing we would do, but it would cost a fortune to make this phone call to England. And the bigger the family got, the shorter the conversation was, because we'd be like, okay, so and so saying this now, and pass it on. No, it's your turn to say hello to, you know, to grandma and grandpa. Quick, pass it on, you know, the phone would go round. And I often think of just how homesick at times my mum must have been. But there was no simple technology to just connect. Not even the telephone was truly an option when it was that expensive. Now we're spoiled almost, you know. Here we are, you know, FaceTiming, Zooming in, playing, you know, playing board games together via Zoom over, you know, ISO and Christmas. So, how much of a difference do you think? Do you think there'd be people who aren't feeling homesick because of all of this technology?
Yeah, well, look, I think that's a really good point. We're really lucky, you know, at this time that we can get more out of technology and we can take advantage of, you know, making a video to send home or getting on FaceTime and doing all that stuff. You know, it's a really nice way to keep homesickness at bay. And but it's interesting to see, you know, even with your example there, you know, with your mum coming over and being unable to even access the phone at times, she made it work by creating a sort of sense of structure and routine around the letter writing. And I think just knowing that you've got this kind of link back, no matter how frequent it is, you know, it might just be knowing that you've got a weekly phone call or that once a month you get a care package and you send the care package. So whatever it is, creating that routine around it is really important. It allows you that sense of predictability, and then it also allows you to go off and think, okay, well, this is my new world, I'm in here too. How can I make the best of this? And obviously for your mum, you know, she would have had to immerse herself in the new world because she was somewhere new.
Exactly. I'm thinking about those care packages now. They are a great way. If you do know somebody who is a bit homesick at the moment, or they are in ISO or whatever it is right now, the care package is probably one of the kindest things you can do, to let someone know that you can send them a little taste of home. I remember sending one to one of my sisters filled with CDs of like Australian music and music mixes that I'd put together for her. You know, please. Just to sort of say, here's your little taste of Australia, even though you can't, you know, you can't be here now. Clearly, that was also in a time prior to sharing a Spotify playlist, Gemma. technology is making so much of it so much easier, isn't it? But the thing that, you know, putting it in the mail means is you took the time. You really do care when you put it in the mail, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you're giving her a piece of home. You know, I love that idea of being able to, you know, take a piece of home with you. You know, the bands that you like, or even, you know, getting, you know, some of the local, you know, food that you like or whatever it is. You know, that's the benefit of being able to send something over now. We can send things across relatively quickly, and you can make it personal, and you can kind of take that bit of home with you.
They haven't quite found the technology to send Vegemite and Minties over to the UK yet. When they do, then we're finally redundant with our care packages, but that's one thing we can still do. Homesick. It is a real thing. Admit it if you are feeling it. Find some ways, such as what Gemma's been suggesting, these new routines, these new rituals, as well as connecting through technology, and get through it, because as you say, no emotion lasts forever. And the homesickness will hopefully be replaced by being at home at one stage. Psychologist Gemma Dolley, my guest here on ABC Radio. Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks, Bern. Lovely to chat with you.